Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Americans have finally begun to recognize that human-caused climate change is a grave threat to humanity. What is less clear is the dangerous effects climate change will have on the entire ecosphere. Roger Schlickhuysen is president of Defenders of Wildlife.
First of all, you've got to get the legislation. You've got to cap the emissions, but that's the only train that's going to leave on this. You've got to have, if it's global warming legislation and it deals with the problem, it has to both cap emissions and it has to deal with the impact on biological diversity. Or future generations, to paraphrase Ed Wilson, are going to look back on us and blame us for this, and they will be right to do so.
Was Ed Wilson that said that we are in the midst of another great extinction event. The difference is, instead of being an asteroid, it's humans.
Well, that's right, and they've been saying that for decades. And that's before you put the impact of global warming on top of that. I mean, we could lose 35-40% of our species. You know, talk about tearing holes in the web of life. The web of life can tolerate a certain amount of insult. But not at that level. You're clearly going to be causing damage here, and anybody will get that intrinsically if they have a chance to think about it.
Since 1991, Roger Schlickhuysen has led Defenders of Wildlife. By 2009, the organization had grown from 61,000 members to 500,000, with a budget of more than $30 million. Mr. Schlickhuysen holds an MBA from Harvard and a doctorate in finance from George Washington University. Bill Russell and I were pleased to have the opportunity to discuss the future of the planet with Roger Schlickhuysen. Roger Schlickhuysen, I have a fond memory of growing up in a town that had a very beautiful bridge, and early on I spotted that thing in the middle that is a keystone. Well, I was thinking about that keystone to the bridge when I was trying, after years and years and years of puzzling, to figure out why you have a wolf as a defender of wildlife icon. I decided the wolf was a keystone. How'd I do?
You did well. You did well. No, the wolf, in fact, is a keystone species, Paul, and we have now seen that, especially at work in Yellowstone. Defenders of Wildlife was, I think, the lead organization, most people would agree, in getting the wolves back into the Northern Rockies and into Yellowstone Park. And the studies that have been made since then show just the important role that the top predator plays in an ecosystem.
And it's the wolf that is the top predator?
The wolf is the top predator in the Yellowstone ecosystem by far.
I would have thought it would be a grizzly bear.
No, the grizzly bear is an important predator, but it's really an omnivore. The wolf is a carnivore, and it is the top predator. And it, in fact, puts a lot of meat on the ground for the grizzly bear. So it is the top predator there.
How convenient for the grizzly bear.
And its return has made, I don't know how long it's been since you've been to Yellowstone, but its return has made Yellowstone a much more dynamic place.
Dynamic
in the sense that this age-old predator-prey relationship that's been there forever is now playing itself out again, and guests that come can actually see it before their very eyes. It gives you a little bit of a flavor of what wild America once was like. Probably you get that better, at least in the lower 48, you get that better now in Yellowstone than you do any place else in America.
So you watch wolves go out and kill things?
If you're lucky, yes.
When we heard that you were coming and that we would have the chance to spend some time with you, I was very enthusiastic because I have been trying, particularly for the last 6 or 8 months, to figure out what it is about a certain set of humans that they want to go out and kill wolves, particularly given what you've just said. And I, in sort of an abstract sense, can sort of understand it, but I'm really mystified by this obsession with killing wolves.
Slaughtering wolves.
What's it about?
Well, I think it goes back, you know, a long, long, long ways. It goes back all the way probably to Aesop's fable. Why Aesop decided to pick on the wolf, I have no idea. But all of those stories that come out from all of that over the centuries actually have created this, I think. And it just created the wolf as a symbol of wild and dangerous nature, unfortunately. And we keep playing that out. That in spite of the fact that to this day there is is no known incident of a wild wolf ever killing a human being in the United States.
Really?
Yes, yes. And when we returned wolves to Yellowstone shortly thereafter, I had an occasion. We worked quite closely with the Yellowstone Wolf Recovery Project, and I had an occasion to actually be in a pen about maybe a half an acre in size when we were trying to capture some of these wolves to move them to another location. And we were trying, this was kind of silly as you look back on it, but they were trying a new experiment where they were trying to actually net them. Rather than tranquilize them, they were trying to net them. And so here we were trying to put in nets
on paper
on these big wolves, you know, 80, 120 pound wolves running around there, and we're trying to net them. And it was, but we were there knowing that we really weren't in danger. I do have to admit that my heart was a bit up in my throat doing this, but I wouldn't have been there I thought that I was in any danger, and these wolves would do everything but run between your legs trying to get away from you.
This reminds me of Elizabeth Marshall Thomas, who wrote and probably best known for writing The Hidden Life of Dogs. Mm-hmm. And she maintains, maybe with a little bit of her tongue in the cheek, that it was actually wolves who domesticated us rather than the other way around, that is to say, what became dogs. That they, and sort of like the grizzlies with the wolves, mm-hmm. the wolves figured out that there was some easy fixins around, and they over time, she argues, domesticated us. But this is a long-standing relationship.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, it's amazing how many people are unaware that all of our domestic dogs evolved from wolves. All of them, little ones, big ones. I mean, they all came from dogs. And people can only speculate about what happened, but you can almost see in your mind, you know, the first time, you know, a wolf came by a campfire and decided, you know, this was easy pickings, kind of. And the humans that were there decided, you know, this was pretty good, too. I didn't mind this, you know, and the animal may help protect the camp. And so they developed a little symbiotic relationship where they each did something for the other. And out of all that evolved all of our domestic dogs. I think if more people realized that our domestic dogs came from wolves, there would be more sympathy for them, for wolves, than there are.
Absolutely. Roger Schlickhuysen is our guest. He is the president of the Defenders of Wildlife. Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, Mr. Schlickhuysen, we'll all be back in just a moment. Be with us.